Welcome to the God's Word portion of the worship from Daleville Christian Church. I want to begin by reading a letter from the Executive Director of Week of Compassion, which is the emergency fund for the Christian churches in the United States. The letter starts by saying, in the first days after the February 24th start of the Russian attacks on Ukraine, the humanitarian response, led especially by faith-focused communities, was immediate and significant. Week of Compassion has been in constant contact with our ecumenical partners at home and around the world. Because of your generous support for this ministry we share, since the start of the conflict a month ago, we have already sent $250,000 to our partners. I should say that for the organization, Week of Compassion of the Christian Churches, $250,000 as an immediate response is a very large response. Those gifts were on the ground right away, providing immediate support, resources, provisions, and shelter for those fleeing their homes in Ukraine. As Ukrainians flee, our partners are assisting with these immediate needs in Romania, Poland, Hungary, Slovakia, as well as inside Ukraine for those who cannot or have not been able to escape. Daleville Christian Church is taking an offering now for the needs in Ukraine. We will utilize probably Week of Compassion as well as other organizations like Church World Service and the Red Cross. We have an affirmation of our faith that we share each time we are together. Today's from Colossians in the first chapter. Be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The reading of God's Word for today comes from James's letter in the fifth chapter, the first 11 verses. Now listen, you rich people. Weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered innocent men who were not opposing you. Be patient, then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. I want to make sure I share the King James version of that verse 11, James 5:11. Behold, we count them happy who endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Behold, we count them happy which endure. May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word. Today's message is a follow-up message to last week. last week's message entitled, You Can Be Happier. So this week, which I really mean, we can be happier. So this is We Can Be Happier, Part 2. I wanted to touch on again that phrase in the Declaration of Independence of our own United States, that you and I, as people, but especially as Americans, are endowed with an inalienable right that includes the pursuit of happiness. The pursuit of happiness, notice, we don't have rights to happiness. We are not guaranteed or entitled happiness. The pursuit of happiness, not the achievement or finding of happiness. That's not what is guaranteed. Only the pursuit. I believe that most of us are at an age where we have done quite a bit of pursuing of happiness. We discovered quite a bit of wisdom along the way. And I have preached on some of this. We just heard some of it read from James's letter, that those who have pursued wealth may have missed some things along the way. Because some of the wisdom is painful that you and I have acquired, like having achieved something in a job or career or a level of income, some of these may have allowed us more peace, but not the happiness we assumed would come with those achievements. There are numerous examples of famous Americans in entertainment, sports, or simply lottery winners who, having gained so much, lost it all, squandered it all, or wound up dead. The funny thing about humans, and certainly Americans, that having these numerous examples, many of us will say, yes, I see, but I'm different. That won't happen to me. And that's one of the reasons we continue to come to church and read our Bibles that remind us of the wisdom found there. Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man will abound with blessings, but whoever hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. Reflects quite a bit of what we heard in James's letter, condemning the rich. A faithful person will abound with blessings, but whoever hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. I didn't study this verse, but my first thought is that the pursuit of wealth carries its own punishment. If you're not sure, read Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol or learn about Bernie Madoff, who died a year ago, April 14th. So as faithful followers of our Lord Jesus, we are more savvy about the pursuit of happiness. And I preached on happiness before. We have 4 sermons online at Daleville Christian Church's website with the word happy in the title. Most downloaded of those sermons was Happiness in a Pandemic, with over 200 downloads. And that's a lot for us. I have entire files on happiness. One of those files is 18 pages with links to websites on happiness. Happiness figures in other of my sermons on money, on marriage. There were sermons in 2010 that touched on happiness. A sermon in 2008 mentioned happy churches. A sermon on prayer from 2009 talks about being happy. The writer of the Psalms prays in Psalm 51, let me hear joy and gladness. Let me hear joy and gladness. That's a prayer. Ever wonder about the bluebird of happiness? Well, that goes back many centuries in different cultures, and personally, I didn't find any of those stories particularly interesting, or I would share them with you. But the bluebird's association with happiness still occurs in our own American popular media. In the classic film, The Wizard of Oz, 1938, then-star Judy Garland sang, Somewhere Over the Rainbow, Bluebirds Fly. The Disney Corporation had its 1947 feature with the song Zippity-Doo-Dah, singing Mr. Bluebird's On My Shoulder. So that the term zippity-doo-dah, or having a zippity-doo-dah day, means happiness. Now, there happens to be a bluebird found in the Holy Land, the Palestine sunbird. The plumage of the breeding sunbird males is mostly dark but appears glossy blue or green in the light. But there is no mention of any bluebirds in the Bible, and certainly not a bluebird of happiness, which doesn't prove anything except the Bible's not interested in talking about any bluebirds, even though they are there. There are translations of the Bible that use the word happy. What was most interesting to me is how different versions translate the very same word into different words in the very same translations, and that is true of our word here in James. Although the same word occurs in many other places in the New Testament and in its corresponding Hebrew. I've made sure to include the Bible verse as the Bible verse of the week, the King James Version, "Behold, we count them happy." We count them happy, those who endure, James 5:11. But when we read the entire section of that James chapter 5, we notice James is connecting patience and blessing, even happiness, connecting it with suffering. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, "Behold, we count them happy." We count them happy and blessed, those who endure, those who have persevered. And all of a sudden, your pastor is not as interested in the Bible's use of the word happy. But I am interested in happiness. What does the Bible mean? How is it that the Bible can be translated to read happy or blessed, as in blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek? It's the same word as James counts as happy. And what about the sweetness of life? There's a lot of sweetness in the Bible, over 100 references. The Passover meal that is in use today talks about the sweetness of life. And we haven't touched on the word joy, which has associations with happiness and gladness. Glad is another great Bible word. Those of us who are old enough have figured out that happiness is not something that is found, and happiness is not something that is acquired. Although the implication of the idea, pursuit of happiness, is that happiness can be a goal that a person can reach. Either way, that is not how the Bible sees things. The literal definition of the Greek word in the New Testament for the blessedness or happiness is free from daily cares and worries. Free from daily cares and worries. Very few people are free from daily cares and worries. The Greeks and Romans used the same word to refer to the lifestyle of the gods. Living on a higher plane like the gods of the Greeks and Romans, they were free from daily cares and worries. Now, remember last week's message? Just say yes. Jesus said that the birds and flowers are free from cares and worries because of the care lavished on them by the Heavenly Father. Likewise, we should not focus on what we don't have. We should learn to find our Heavenly Father's efforts already at work in our lives. We're not free from worry, but we can focus more on God's presence and concern and love for us. How does Peter's letter put it? "Cast all your anxiety on Him," that is the Lord, "because He cares for you." Various translations say, "Cast all your cares, cast all your worries on the Lord." Why? Because He cares. The Lord cares for you. There was a popular song 50 years ago entitled "Love Can Make You Happy." Although we have other songs that say love will make you crazy, being in love is, that is, being in love, is more of a bipolar experience of highs and lows. But if you want to sing that God's love can make you happy, that would be correct and true. You and I, and anyone listening, and everyone, is blessed with the love of God. It probably should be said that peace is a component of happiness, but we know that being home from war does not make anyone happy, not even content. The most some soldiers have been able to say about being home from war is that at least no one is shooting at me. Hardly close to any definition of happiness. The word we often use, happy, and the way we use it, is not a Bible word, particularly. The word is often translated blessed and blessedness in the Bible. And I'll get to that. Closer to Bible words, the way we use happy, are the words glad, gladness, joy, joyful, content, contentment, peace, and often particular actions or objects support or encourage happiness, like wine, harvest time, and feasting. Those are in the Bible. Now, there's a whole area of research on happiness, and it may need to be said that the church, throughout history, has taken a doubtful, even disapproving look at plans for happiness. But maybe the church has been doubtful about pursuits of happiness because people have followed their own pursuit of happiness instead of reading the Bible and the Bible's version of happiness or joy, or even reading scientific studies that actually more support the Bible and support more what the Bible says, instead of following their own lead about pursuing happiness. This is likely because running after happiness, as I mentioned last week and will mention again today, gratitude is a key component to the doorway to happiness. Gratitude, thanksgiving to God, is a key component to the doorway to happiness. As the Bible teaches, and you and I already know, and science agrees, seeking happiness itself can actually make us less happy. This is likely because running after happiness focuses us on what we do not have, always pursuing something that reminds us that it's not already in our possession. And we talked about this last week. Don't worry about tomorrow. There was a Forbes magazine article a year ago about the keys to happiness, and one of them is gratitude, thanksgiving. And as believers practice it, thanksgiving to God. Thanksgiving to God who gives generously to us all. God is generous, even to the heathens. And even the heathens can experience the joy of God's provision. The prophet Isaiah noted this, even in the excesses of God's people who had forgotten God. Isaiah chapter 22, proclaiming, "And behold, joy and gladness, slaying oxen and killing sheep, eating flesh and drinking wine. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." God's people might wrongly go to excess, and the heathens might eat and drink to excess, and both groups will feel happy for a brief time. And the bounty that they are enjoying that gives them this brief experience of happiness was a gift from God. So the Bible can admit that there is a gladness that is of the flesh and not of the spirit, but as some fans of wine have noticed, God even makes wine. We don't have to do anything. Store your grape juice. In a few weeks, you get wine. God invented wine. The Psalms know all about this. Psalm 104 speaks of wine that gladdens human hearts. And Psalm 4 says, "Fill my heart with joy when their grain and new wine abound." The Bible knows all about these kinds of short-lived joys. But happiness in the New Testament is usually understood in spiritual terms. In the Hebrew language, there would be no such possibility of a discussion of happiness or gladness without attachment to something, like God, or bread, or wine. And those joys don't just happen for Jesus' followers. Everyone, believer and heathen, can experience the joy of food and wine. But the believer understands the giver of every good gift and gives thanks to God and is sure to partake with glad and grateful hearts. And the faithful then are well on their way to experiencing a happiness that goes beyond the dinner hour. But the Forbes article stands with the Bible. Gratitude is a key to what we call happiness. And the believer is thankful to God, the giver of every good and perfect gift. Also from James in the first chapter. In the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, says Jesus. Or as my children's Bible book states it, happy are the poor. Happy are those who make peace. The words should be understood as God extending his benefits, God extending the advantages that God confers. And God has decided to extend those benefits to people whom we don't think get those benefits and maybe don't deserve them. Everyone knew in the ancient world, and the Pharisees confirmed, that the rich were given God's benefits. That's why they're rich. But Jesus was saying, no, the humble, the meek, and the poor are included, are now included. The Messiah is bringing those benefits to these people, as Jesus declared in his first commentary on Isaiah 61, the Holy Spirit has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. The Messiah has come and declared it, and Jesus has the authority to make it so. What Jesus proclaimed could not be proven by a scientific study. Even if it were conducted, Jesus was making it happen as Jesus spoke it. Today, Jesus said, this reading is fulfilled in your hearing. It's happening. God is extending his benefits. Blessedness, the word sometimes translated happy or happiness, is from God. As the Apostle Paul will proclaim, this blessedness will even be extended to the Gentiles, the heathens. How? When they see that God has already provided for them in the Messiah, Jesus, God's own anointed. If there's anything we have to do, it is to consider it, to think on these blessings, to be open to them, to notice them. You know, I remember a lot of my life, and not all of it was pleasant or happy. My memory will often throw unpleasant memories at me. They're called intrusive memories. I can acknowledge them, but I have to list the pleasant memories in a file and focus on those. I'm focusing on God's blessings. I'm focusing on the ways God has blessed me. In Bible terms, I'm considering my happiness, God's activity in my life. St. Augustine is considered the first autobiographer. He wrote of his life in his book, The Confessions. He didn't come to faith until later in his life, but in his Confessions, he confesses that God was at work in his life all along. He didn't focus on his unpleasant memories. He confesses that our Lord was still there working to bless Augustine. Friends, if you have to make a happy memories list, go ahead. I had to. Now, maybe I should speak to one more aspect of happiness. You know, there are tons of books on happiness. People study this stuff. Why I look at this stuff is that they come to conclusions that the Bible talks about. Well, the Bible's right all along. I'm not surprised, but many people would be. So one more thing that happiness is about place. There are happier places on this earth. The official tagline for Disneyland is the happiest place on earth. That might be true, but you and I can't live there. So better to read Dan Buettner's book, The Blue Zones of Happiness. He's been to the happier places he talks about and interviewed the people who live there. And they're not places you and I might think of first, like Denmark, which sounds cold and snowy to me. He does mention Costa Rica, and I understand that. Costa Rica is a coffee bean-producing country. People should be happy there. But we can be reminded that God intended his children, whom God rescued from slavery in Egypt. God promised them their own place. 22 times the promised land is described as flowing with milk and honey. Now, I don't know how many farmers were among the children of Israel. Most of them were forced to be brickmakers. But have you thought about that phrase, a land flowing with milk and honey? The milk the Israelites would have known came from sheep and goats. So the promised land they're going to must have water and pasture to support sheep and goats, if the promise of flowing with milk is to be true. The milk was used to make cheese, a more concentrated protein and fat source in a Mediterranean diet. And honey? Honey would mean that there are bees, and that means there are flowering plants and trees that produce food, like almond trees, pomegranate, and other edibles like onions, cucumbers, leeks, different varieties of beans, sesame, and flax, and many more. Again, this was promised to the children of Israel, a place provided by God that promised God's provision within it, a land flowing with milk and honey. There you can be happy? Well, yes, because as the Bible knows it, you will know God's extended benefits of blessing in that land, not like the land of Egypt where they were enslaved. So the Bible does talk about places of blessing, but God's blessings are not limited by place. And in my opinion, Denmark would have to be a good example. I'm sure Denmark is an okay place. I just don't have it in my travel plans. But God's blessings are not limited by place. The Old Testament is full of these events where God makes his presence known to Abraham and his children, and they build altars in those places as witnesses to God's appearance and blessing. The Bible phrase is, the Lord's hand is not shortened. The Lord's arm is not shortened. No matter where you live, the Lord extends his blessings to me here. I too can be happy here, as the Bible states it. And you can be happy where you are. You and I can be happier wherever we are. If we will look for joy, if we will consider our Lord's blessings, if we will look for our Lord's activity in our past, that's the kind of pursuit of happiness the Bible can support. You too can be happier where you are, enjoying God's extended blessings. If you will receive what the Lord is giving, and consider those blessings, beginning with God's own anointed, the Messiah, Jesus. Amen.